Even under the covers, I can hear Stella grunting from her bedroom, doing squats or push-ups or something that's not required but highly encouraged. I pull a pillow over my face, blocking out the sun, and fumble around for my phone, thumbing through my texts to find the ones Noah sent last night. "Wish I could pick you up and drive you tomorrow," he said. "Like a real couple." A dull ache pounds in my chest, and I force myself to remember that he does want me. He does care for me. We'll be together soon. Without thinking, I run my pointer finger over the thin red bracelet around my wrist. It's made of just a few pieces of thread braided together and tied in a circle. Noah gave it to me on a rainy day in July when we were stuck inside the lifeguarding shack, waiting out a storm. He retrieved it from his backpack and tied it tightly around my wrist.
"I made it," he said, sheepish.
I tried to picture him, brow furrowed in concentration, braiding a friendship bracelet in his spare time. "I love it," I said, turning my wrist around to admire his clumsy work. And I did. It was perfect.
"I want you to look at this when you think I don't care. When you think I've forgotten all about you and that my heart is somewhere else," he said. "Know that I want to be with you."
Before I could say anything, he kissed my palm, my fingers, the underside of my arm. Then he pressed his lips to mine, firmly, with intention. The little bracelet is my only reminder that what I went through this summer was worth it. That we will be together in the end, after he gets into Princeton and lets Tamara down easy. I just know that if I try hard enough, I can make this relationship work, even if it means being the other girl for a few months. Otherwise, what was it all for? I sigh heavily and throw the covers off my bed, knowing that the first day of school is only an hour away. I pull on jean shorts and a white flowy top and shake out my hair so it falls in waves around my shoulders. I look at myself closely in the mirror and wonder if I've changed as much on the outside as I have on the inside since June. Last year, I was so excited to go back to school. I had new notebooks, a fresh haircut, and Bethany. This year, all I have is a secret Noah told me I had to keep, and the fear that rises in my throat when I think about sharing it with anyone. But now I push the thought away and head downstairs to make myself a green juice. Thank God Stella convinced Mom we really did need that $400 monstrosity that pulverizes kale into neon-colored liquid. All she had to do was dangle that scholarship over their heads, and they were ready to get her anything she wanted. I have to scream to be heard. Or at least I had to, until Stella lost her chance at Georgetown. Now Mom and Dad are asking more questions about my times, my stats, my chances. It started with a few innocent comments about reaching out to college coaches over the summer, but by the time Mom started grilling me on my PR, I just wanted to curl inside myself and shut them out. Maybe it's easier being out of focus. The blender shrieks as I throw ginger, celery, half a carrot, and a handful of kale into its bowels. Soon I'm left with a muddy green liquid that tastes like dirt. "Ready?" Stella appears at the top of the staircase. Her hair is wet and slicked back in a ponytail, and she's wearing an Edgewater tracksuit that makes swooshing sounds when she walks. Dork. "You can't put on something slightly cute for the first day of school?" I ask. There it is, that stare. "Did you make any for me?" she asks. I've learned by now, what's mine is Stella's, and what's Stella's is also Stella's. I nod and hand her a to-go thermos. She takes it with a grunt, and we head out the door into the beat-up Navy Subaru Outback Grandma and Grandpa gifted to us when Stella got her license. They shipped it all the way from Arizona, where they moved just before the dark years. That's what Dad calls them when he and Mom were trying to get their lives together, holed up in an Airstream they thought was cool over in Bethel. At first glance, they seemed like everyone else, just trying to get a piece of the mountain life pie before the yuppies from Brooklyn bought up all the property.